want your band. Well, I beg your pardon. Walk the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, He's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at His command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand.
It's 11 a.m. on KBOO Portland. You're going to want to stay tuned for Health Watch with Dr. David Naiman. His guest today is Dr. Mitchell Gaynor, talking about his book, The Gene Therapy Plan. And at 11:30, we'll hear Sprouts featuring a program called Experiences in the Black Lives Matter Movement. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor for ALEC Expo's film screening and workshop on June 18th, 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. ALEC, the American Legislators Exchange Council, is a corporate-directed organization which writes model legislation for state legislatures around the nation that is beneficial to multinational corporations. Secretive corporate-directed and funded organizations like ALEC undermine the principles of citizens participating in democratic processes. ALEC Expos explain how ALEC functions, who is involved, and how to fight back to promote democratic, non-corporate values. Again, that's ALEC Expos, June 18th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church on Southwest 12th and Salmon in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The purpose of this program is not to prescribe a treatment to individuals. Listeners should consult their healthcare practitioner before attempting any treatment.
Good morning and welcome to Health Watch. I'm Dr. David Naiman, your host. Today's guest, Dr. Mitchell Gaynor, is a professor of medicine at Weill Cornell Medical College with more than 25 years of clinical experience. He's also been listed among the best doctors in New York for the past 13 consecutive years, and his work has been featured in the New York Times, on Good Morning America, and the Dr. Oz Show, among others. Dr. Gaynor is here today on Health Watch to talk about his book, The Gene Therapy Plan, Taking Control of Your Genetic Destiny with Diet and Lifestyle, a book that Publishers Weekly says is a worthwhile guide to harnessing the power hidden in food to subvert one's genetic predisposition for disease. Welcome to Health Watch, Dr. Mitchell Gaynor.
Oh, thanks for having me, David.
Well, what your book hinges on conceptually is the difference between genetic predisposition and genetic expression. So can you start by just acquainting our listeners to what we're discovering about the difference between those two?
Absolutely. Because we used to think, even when I was in medical school, this was dogma, is that our genetic destiny was fixed. So just like our eye color and our hair color, we were under the impression, science has been under the impression, that if we had a strong family history of people being overweight or of having a lot of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, that was just going to be our genetic destiny, and there was really nothing we could do about it. And the fact is there's a new field, which is what the book is about, called epigenetics. Epi is the Greek word for above, so it's above the genome, which is the collection of all the genes that have to do with every aspect of our health. And our gene expression is dynamic. It can be changed throughout our lifetime depending on the foods we put in our body for either good or for harm.
So one of the interesting things that really emphasizes, I think, the importance of addressing our genetic expression is you talk a little bit at the beginning about new imaging technologies and how we can image things better and better. And we've discovered that most people harbor dormant disease, and whether that dormant disease becomes an actual disease say a cancer from a cancer cell, it really depends upon how we are influencing our genetic expression.
Absolutely. So when I was doing my training at Cornell, I'm board certified in internal medicine, medical hematology, and medical oncology. I was doing research at Rockefeller on gene expression or epigenetics regarding the immune system as it had to do with cancer. And I was fascinated to see that there were literally dozens of nutrients that could turn on tumor suppressor genes, genes that would literally suppress a dormant cancer cell from becoming active. I was fascinated to see that there were environmental toxins and bad foods like white sugar, white flour, heat-damaged oils, things found in the fast and processed food environment that we live in that could turn on genes that would promote tumors. And, you know, with the best medical training available in the Western world, I was flabbergasted to see that nobody had ever taught me about this. So I really start the gene therapy plan with what I call the rule of thirds. And that is that this is the first diet that's ever been written for gene expression. The rule of thirds is very simple. It has to do with the fact that people should consume a third of their calories from healthy protein every day. That would include lean meats, egg whites or eggs, raw vegetables, which are loaded with protein, lentils, tree nuts. A third should come from healthy carbs, not processed grains, but whole grains or sprouted whole grains, even better. Fruit, Swiss cheese, and a third should come from healthy fats, including omega-3s that come from cold, deep-water fish or certain seeds. Chia is one of the best seeds you can consume by weight. It has 8 times as many omega-3s as the same weight as salmon, 7 times more vitamin C than oranges. Also, pumpkin seeds and flax seeds loaded with omega-3s, and then omega-6s that are healthy come from coconut oil, which is the best cooking oil you can use, as well as olive oil, which people should consume every day. Extra virgin is best.
Well, you mentioned cooking oil and coconut being your preferred cooking oil. You're a big proponent of olive oil, but you suggest that we steer away from using it in cooking. Could you speak a little more about that?
Yeah, there are certain oils that form pro-inflammatory, in other words, they induce inflammation, free radicals, and that would include most of the vegetable oils. The ones that have the highest smoke points that are most resistant to cook with, coconut oil being number one, and it's also very rich in lauric acid, which is important in the part of your immune system that fights cancer. Number two would be cold-pressed grapeseed oil. Third would just be butter. Olive oil, especially extra virgin, people should consume every day, even if you take a tablespoon of it. It's loaded with squalene, which is an omega-2 fatty acid. It induces apoptosis or cell death of cancer cells, and it helps with insulin sensitivity. It helps you metabolize sugar better, good for weight control, good for diabetes, good against inflammation. But when you heat it, it denatures the good nutrients in olive oil very quickly. So it's much better if you drizzle it over something that's been cooked or have it over something raw.
Well, you mentioned in your basic plan, in the gene therapy plan, that not only that people should eat whole foods whenever possible, but to avoid fake foods and fad foods, and even some foods that people might not consider to be fads, multigrain cereal or granola bars or other things, are things that aren't really health foods in this model. So can you talk, can you unpack that a little bit for us?
I can. It's very important to read labels, because a lot of these things are heated to very high heats, and a lot of them are processed. So there's all the difference in the world between a whole grain and what we, quote, call multigrain. Most times multigrain's a code word for processed grain, and you're ripping off the most healthy parts of the grain. When you process wheat, for instance, 80% of the vitamin E and magnesium is lost from the wheat, and that also makes it very difficult to digest and helps damage the probiotic, the good bacteria in your gut. So those are like lactobacillus, bifidobacillus. those are very important, that you have the right bacteria in your gut, because the consequence of having the wrong bacteria, and you can damage these in a lot of ways. One is consuming white sugar, one is consuming white flour, one is consuming processed grains, and the other is phosphoric acid that's found in soda. It helps to really damage the good bacteria in your gut. So when you get the wrong bacteria in your gut, you create an ecosystem there that is releasing inflammatory chemicals throughout your body. These increase tumor promoter genes. They increase inflammation. We used to think diabetes was due to not enough insulin. But one-third of our country today, 100 million Americans, are either pre-diabetic or diabetic, and we have this condition known as diabesity, which is sort of between diabetes and obesity, where people have high hemoglobin A1Cs, which indicates a high blood sugar frequently, not quite enough to be diabetic, and their body weight is higher. A study just came out today showing that women today had the same body weight as men in 1960. So our overall weight has gone up. I mean, we're literally poisoning ourselves from this fast food, processed food diet. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that we're living in a country where it's been 1 in 3 Americans, we're going to hear the words, you have cancer. That's about to go to 1 in 2 Americans, and so many of the things we're putting in our bodies are promoting insulin resistance that's making us obese. And every time your pancreas makes insulin, your liver is making something called insulin-like growth factor. That's one of the strongest tumor promoters for cancer.
In case you just tuned in, you're listening to Health Watch, and we're talking today to Dr. Mitchell Gaynor about his book, The Gene Therapy Plan: Taking Control of Your Genetic Destiny with Diet and Lifestyle. So you mentioned diabesity, the combination of diabetes and obesity that's growing as an epidemic in the United States. What are some of the advice that you give over and above your basic plan, either in terms of diet or lifestyle or supplementation, that you recommend for people with who are overweight and struggling with blood sugar control?
That's a great question, because that, unfortunately, is many people. And that's why people have become so frustrated by, you know, all these fad diets. You know, they've tried Atkins, they've tried, you know, a high-carb diet, they've had tried high-protein diets, and they all leave you in deficiencies of for things that increase detoxifying enzymes, anti-inflammatory nutrients, nutrients which promote what we call apoptosis, which is the ability for fat cells to die and cancer cells to die. So some of the top three things I talk about, you want to keep your detox enzymes very strong. The top three nutrients for keeping your detoxifying enzymes strong are turmeric. That's what gives curry its yellow color. Garlic, which is critically important for increasing on a genetic level your detoxifying enzymes. This is your first line of defense at getting rid of you know, things like bus fumes, secondhand cigarette smoke, pesticide, herbicide residues. And the third are green leafy vegetables like spinach, kale, and also broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower are loaded with a nutrient called sulforaphane, which has been found to be the strongest inducer of detoxifying enzymes. And we know that people with the lowest levels of detox enzymes have the highest risk of many cancers, including breast cancer.
What's interesting, in later in the book, you talk about the top foods for detoxifying from environmental toxins, and some of those are really common fresh herbs and spices like basil, oregano, parsley, cilantro, that are particularly useful for detoxifying. Are those also useful for detoxifying for people with diabetes and obesity?
Absolutely, because a lot of these do many things. And, you know, so just because something will decrease inflammation. So if you take saffron, for instance, saffron is something that I really recommend because it decreases what we call pro-inflammatory chemicals in your body. And so if you're trying to lose weight, saffron is one of the best things you can have because it improves insulin sensitivity, and that's helpful for decreasing appetite. It contains a nutrient called crocin, and that lowers oxidized LDL, so it also helps with heart disease because it decreases plaque formation. Ginger, you can make ginger tea by cutting 4 to 6 slices of ginger, putting it in boiling water for 10 minutes. That also increases insulin sensitivity. So when I talk about sensitivity, all these inflammatory things we're exposed to, what happens with our weight is you develop something called insulin insensitivity. So all these inflammatory chemicals caused by the wrong bacteria in your gut, too much white sugar, white flour, heat-damaged oils, they bind to something in your cell called insulin-like substrate. That's how insulin does its job. But the inflammatory chemicals bind to this, so your pancreas is making more than enough insulin. It just can't do its job because all those receptors inside the cells are already spoken for. The same happens with a chemical called leptin. It's a hormone made by fat cells, and that's what makes you feel full. And that's why so many of my patients come in, they say, you know, Dr. Gaynor, I'm always hungry. And the reason they're always hungry is they're leptin insensitive. Their body makes enough leptin. They have enough fat cells. But the inflammatory chemicals in the body from all these things I've talked about, they bind the leptin receptors inside the cells. So some of the things that you can do you know, to combat this is you can build muscle. I talk about the importance of aerobic exercise, but equally important is weight-bearing exercise. You've got to build muscle. Muscle is one of the most important things. And also, when I'm talking about your one-third of your diet being protein, it's very important to spread that protein out over the course of the day. If you're going to get 90 grams of protein, you want 30 in the morning, 30 in the afternoon, 30 in the evening. Two reasons for that. One, it's been shown that you build about 25% more muscle that way, and it makes you feel full more of the time. It enhances leptin sensitivity. You know, you've got to think fat has about 9 calories per gram. Carbs and protein have about 4 calories per gram. So you want to stay away from an excess of saturated fat.
And another key in the obesity section of the gene therapy plan is making sure people get enough sleep. Do you have some specific supplements for the short to midterm for people, or sleep aids that you suggest for people who are having trouble getting their 7 hours or 8 hours?
I do, but I also want to stress that night owls, people that really stay up late as opposed to getting up early, they have more diabetes, prediabetes, and obesity than people that are getting the same amount of sleep but just getting up early. So if you tend to stay up late, you tend to binge watch TV, you tend to snack on unhealthy foods. So it's good to get to bed by 10, 10:30. If you have trouble falling asleep, there are a number of great things you can do. They have a supplement called De-Stress that I recommend in my book. It's a hydrolyzed milk protein that's similar to a neurotransmitter in the brain. Melatonin is very useful for a number of people, about 6 milligrams. Very rarely some people report worse dreams with it, but that is pretty rare. So those are two simple things that you can do. Lemon balm is also a very good herb for relaxation and helping with sleep.
Well, let's touch, Dr. Gaynor, on the heart disease, cardiovascular disease section of the book. I'm assuming your advice in general around raw, unheated olive oil, moderate exercise, and a lot of these vegetable recommendations are going to apply here. What are some of the more heart-specific things that you would also add on top of that?
The top thing that people need to think of when they think of preventing or treating heart disease is inflammation. it's been too long, and it's really become a myth that cholesterol is the major cause of heart disease. It's not. Inflammation is the major cause of heart disease, and that's inflammation caused by white sugar, white flour, heat-damaged vegetable oils. These all damage the blood vessels and promote plaque formation and formation of the most dangerous type of cholesterol called oxidized LDL. So the major nutrients I talk about for this are the chia seeds, which are very anti-inflammatory. You can have a tablespoon a day in juice, in yogurt, in cereal, oatmeal. That has 8 times more omega-3 than salmon. Papaya fruit and papaya leaf, they contain papain, which is a proteolytic digestive enzyme, decreases inflammation and improves LDL. Pomegranate is a very important heart-friendly nutrient. This stabilizes blood flow. It reduces arterial plaque formation. And dandelion leaf and dandelion root are something you should definitely add to salads. It's 14% protein. It's a good prebiotic. In other words, it stimulates bifidobacteria in your gut, which will decrease inflammation. But you have to remember the inflammation is the major cause of heart disease.
And are you a proponent of fish oil supplements in this scenario? And if so, what would you recommend on a dosage level?
It depends on the person and if they're on, you know, any other kind of medications. But on the average, a good quality fish oil that has been assayed for mercury, you can take 1 to 3 grams a day. I would also mix it with some krill oil. Krill is a small Arctic, like a little shrimp. It's the major food for blue whales because you get some different omega-3s and you get what are called astaxanthins in there, which are very good for your eyes, very good for brain health as well.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the nervous system and the importance of stress management with regards to gene expression.
Well, stress management is every bit as important to gene expression because being, you know, in a high-stress, chronic, you know, type A personality, that activates the same inflammatory genes as the white sugar and white flour. So it's very important to incorporate stress reduction, getting enough sleep, getting enough exercise, both aerobic and weight-bearing, in your lifestyle, because this whole field is known as behavioral epigenetics. And one thing that's really key to all of this, as I talk about some of the blood tests people should have their doctors order, mercury being one, but also 25-hydroxy vitamin D. Everybody needs to know their level several times a year because D3 is important for your brain cells, for managing stress, for neurotransmitters. All the tumor suppressor genes are dependent on D3. Being able to use insulin and metabolize sugar properly, D3, I've seen people that have refractory depression were found to have very low D3 levels. You supplement their D3, their depression goes away, and they're able to get off medication. But you can't guess. You've got to know your level. You have to have your doctor measure it. It's a very cheap test, and most people can't get enough from diet. If you eat the best diet for D3, salmon, cottage cheese, and yogurt, you can get 350 units a day. If you're living in a very sunny climate, the least you need is about 1,000 units, so most people need a supplement. And if you live in the Northeast, you really might need up to 5,000 to 7,000 units a day, but you shouldn't guess, and you should shoot for a level between 70 and 90.
Well, definitely here in Portland, Oregon, we have a rampant undiagnosed vitamin D deficiency, that's for sure.
Yes.
So you're a big fan and advocate of both eating some of your vegetables raw and also juicing. Can you talk a little bit about the rationale behind those two?
Yes. The more you cook vegetables, so the more you, subject any food to high heat, the more you're going to inactivate a lot of the phytonutrients. To get a lot of your protein from vegetables, raw is better. That's why I am a big proponent of juicing. And plus, you can get a lot of your servings. I recommend 6 to 8 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. If you're very busy, you have a family, you have a job, you travel, juicing is a very, very good way of getting these things. And, you know, the other important part of this is a lot of these vegetables, especially when consumed raw, contain what are called prebiotics. And these are good nutrition for the good bacteria in your gut. And these will include things like mushrooms, whole grains, green leafy vegetables, and beets. Those are your major sources of prebiotic nutrients. You have to think as your gut is a very sensitive ecosystem that's damaged by all this processed food, and a lot of the pesticides, a lot of the herbicides damage the probiotic bacteria in your gut. It's not a bad idea to take a probiotic supplement with at least a billion colony-forming units per pill, and that includes Acidophilus, Bifidobacteria, and Lactobacillus.
Do you have any other supplement recommendations? You mentioned the vitamin D, potentially the probiotics, for people who are healthy and looking to prevent disease?
Absolutely. A lot of people aren't consuming foods with curry in it. So turmeric supplements are important because turmeric inhibits a whole host of diseases. I have one paper I quote in the book, How Many Ways Does Curry Kill Cancer? It's about 25 different ways for people that are concerned about their memory. Things like PQQ, which is pyroquinolone, that's very important in something called mitochondrial biogenesis. That's the formation of new mitochondria within the brain. Those are the energy centers in the brain. Bacopa is an Ayurvedic herb, has been found to have be very useful in people with Alzheimer's, children with learning disabilities. P5, P50 is the active form of vitamin B6, very important for brain health. And if you're on a statin, make sure your doctor has you on CoQ10. Because that depletes the CoQ10 both in the brain and the muscles.
So do you have a website you could point our listeners to, Dr. Gaynor?
I do. I have a website called genechanger.com, GENEchanger.com, and I have a free newsletter you can subscribe to, all the latest updates in this area and a lot of meal plans and recipes.
Well, it was great having you on Health Watch today.
Thank you for having me.
We are talking today to Dr. Mitchell Gaynor, the author of The Gene Therapy Plan, Taking Control of Your Genetic Destiny with Diet and Lifestyle. You've been listening to Health Watch. I'm Dr. David Naiman, your host.
It ain't.
Hi, I'm John Shack, host of Religion for Life. This week I wrap up my three-part series on how to read the Bible. The most important step is to give yourself permission to disagree with it. Jennifer Grace Bird is the author of Permission Granted: Take the Bible into Your Own Hands. Find weekly podcasts on kboo.fm/religionforlife.
Welcome to Sprouts, radio from the grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a national audience, produced at a different location every week.
They beat us, they drew and quartered us, they lynched us, they Jim Crowed us, they segregated us, they gave us crack, they gave us guns, they gave us heroin, they took away our schools, they took our families apart, they threw us in prison, and we're still standing!
I'm Matt Hurley of Pacifica Radio in Ames, Iowa. Today on Sprouts, we're examining the Black Lives Matter movement, where we'll hear from a number